wit and convicted felon, Oscar Wilde, once wrote that the only difference between saints and sinners is that saints have a past and sinners have a future. In other words, the saints, in the idiom of our second reading, have finished the race and have grasped the prize, while the rest of us are still trying to get our acts together. Wilde tells us that our pasts need not determine who we are now, nor what we will become. Yes, we do need to acknowledge the reality of sin in our lives, but we don't stop there. Because of our wonderful and saving God, instead, we can look to the future with joyful anticipation. All of our scripture passages today try, I think, to get the same point across. The first reading from Isaiah uses an unusual or even confusing assertion. The Lord our God says, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not." That seems to go against so much of our faith tradition. We're constantly being asked to remember. Each year, for instance, on Ash Wednesday, we're told, "Remember that you are dust, and unto dust you shall return." We're asked to recall that God brought Israel out of Egypt. Our liturgical seasons and our Eucharist are all about calling to mind things that God has done for us. So why are we being told not to think about the past? The answer, I think, begins to emerge as we continue in the first reading. We're called to see that our God is doing something new. Things are coming to light right here and right now. The issue isn't about ignoring the past, but rather about contextualizing it. It's been suggested that sometimes we hamper God's work simply because we set our desires and expectations too low. If we remember well, if we put things together in a good way, we'll realize that we're not to focus on what God has already done. Instead, we emphasize that God works wonders in every age, including our own. We interpret this scripture and all the scriptures in the light of what's happening to us now. How does Jesus liberate us today? Where do we see God's mercy at work in our lives? Can we see rivers springing up in the wastelands that we encounter? Do we believe that God is with us now, wanting to work for us, with us, and through us? What could the woman possibly have been expecting when she was brought before Jesus? And incidentally, where was the man she was allegedly with? For the scriptures and the Pharisees, her guilt is neither in question nor really what they care about. They're into mind games. They want to use this woman as a pawn in order to trap Jesus. He, however, turns the situation around as from the older and presumably more sinful to the younger, they all slip away. It's they who have been put on trial. Jesus and the woman are left alone. He doesn't ignore what she's done, but neither does he give her a sermon. Instead, he treats her with care and dignity, because for him it is not her past, but her future that is important. Incidentally, talking about our past, did you know that in the law of Moses, a married woman guilty of adultery was to be strangled, but an engaged woman was to be stoned? So when you bear in mind that the average age for betrothal in those days was from about 12 to 14, he had more of a girl in front of him than a young woman. As her encounter with Jesus proceeded, she must have felt a tremendous sense of her despair turning into hope. The moment undoubtedly transformed her heart, her mind, and her whole way of being. And with St. Paul, she must have felt that knowing Christ was all that mattered. Now, whether our sins are serious or merely stupid, whether our lives are broken or just a little bit bent, we must dare to believe that God can and will do great things for each of us. Our own encounters with God can transform us in the same way as it did with the woman in today's gospel. we too can look to the future with hope. After all, wasn't it God who told us, remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the days ahead, let's pray for the courage to believe in God's magnificent plan for us, and let's ask for the strength to keep straining forward for the prize that we've all been offered through Jesus Christ.